Good morning, everyone. Just a couple brief announcements before we begin our order of service this morning. Things to point out. First of all, a sign up for VBS supplies out in the annex over here. The email went out. You notice there are some changes that we've made already, is that this side in the balcony doesn't have any ribbons on it, and everybody has hymnals in the pews at this time. Next Sunday, we'll be going back to normal. June 11th is the governor's date to remove all restrictions. So next Sunday, we'll be going back to normal. So wear masks next Sunday at your discretion. We also have coming up a voters meeting on June 15th at 7 p.m. That information is, it's a special voters meeting. That information is in your Zion's Light. I won't read it out loud to you. You can read that at your leisure. But on some of the things that will be voted on, there are pictures and explanations out on the easel out in the annex again. Also, I don't know what happened to the calendar. If you look at its calendar in the bulletin, it's last week's calendar. I saw the secretary actually change that, but when we printed it, and I don't know, beats me, but we are aware of that. The two dates of the calendar are correct, but June 15th at 7 p.m., that's the big one coming up for the special voters meeting here. Having said all of that, turn to our opening hymn, Rise to Arms with Prayer Employ You.
Greetings in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the June 6th worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in this morning's broadcast are Dennis Knauer, Linda McEwen, and Brian Featon. Casey and Sharon Jones are sponsoring the flowers on the altar to the glory of God in thanksgiving for His many blessings. Jacqueline Mueller and Norm Mueller, Jr. are sponsoring the radio broadcast to the glory of God in honor of their parents, Norm Sr. and Pat Mueller's 60th wedding anniversary. Our organist is Dora Thompson, and the opening hymn is number 668, Rise to Arms, with Prayers Implore You. Hymn number 668 is found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Thank you.
us rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins unto God our Father. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We continue now with our responsive song. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord.
O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy.
If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared.
I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope.
My soul waits for the Lord, more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning.
O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption.
And he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In peace let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Thank you. be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, your Son Jesus triumphed over the prince of demons and freed us from bondage to sin. Help us to stand firm in every assault of Satan and enable us always to do your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for the reading. The Old Testament reading for this, the second Sunday after Pentecost, from the book of Genesis, the third chapter, beginning at the 8th verse. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and to the woman and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you are naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom you gave me to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." And then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all the beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This is the word of the Lord. The Catechetical Review. In regards to the Apostles' Creed, what is the first article?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
What does this mean?
I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger, and guards and protects me from all evil.
All this he does
only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true.
The epistle reading from 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, beginning at the 13th verse. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, "I believed and so I spoke," we also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is also for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comprehension, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the third chapter. Then he went home, and the crowd gathered again so that they could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, "He's out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, "He is possessed by Beelzebub, and by the prince of demons he casts out demons." But he called them to him, and he said to them in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed he may plunder his house. Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man, and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin." For they were saying, "He has an unclean spirit." And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." And he answered them, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the gospel of our Lord, we confess our common Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth,
and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father.
And he will come again with glory
to judge both the living and the dead,
whose kingdom will have no end.
And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated for the singing of the hymn.
The sermon hymn is number 672, Jerusalem the Golden. Hymn number 672. Found in the Lutheran Service Book.
sermon text this morning from the Gospel of St. Mark. Truly, truly, I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but he is guilty of an eternal sin. The words of our text. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ of God. Amen. So right up front, we're going to confess this morning that God wants all people to be saved. The apostle writes to Timothy, he says, God desires all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. And all people means exactly what it says. All people. Everyone. From Adam and Eve to the last person who will ever be conceived on this planet, God wants all people to be saved. As Jesus said to Nicodemus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Jesus uses the words world and whoever. Whoever, Jesus says, does God's will is my brother and sister and my mother. What then is God's will? God's will is that everyone come to a knowledge of the truth and be saved. That will that we believe in Jesus Christ as the God-man who is our substitute, who won salvation for us, who redeemed all human beings. Before his ascension, Jesus gives the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So, salvation is open to all people. But God does not force anybody into his kingdom. He does not push people into his kingdom. So then what would be the result of the word of God? Clearly, when the word of God is proclaimed to people, some hear the word and they repent and they trust Christ for their salvation. Others fiddle away their time, assuming that there will always be time to repent later and seek out the gospel of Jesus Christ. And oftentimes they receive the declaration spoken upon the wealthy landowner, you fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Some hear, but they refuse the gospel invitation, and they are cast into the outer darkness where there is wailing and gnashing of teeth. Some even grow up in the middle of the church, but do not let God's word have its way with them. Reminds me of one of the scariest sermon illustrations I had ever had, and it is pointed at the clergy. It says too many of the clergy even are like Noah's carpenters, building an ark for somebody else to be saved in. Still some harden their hearts, and they refuse every attempt of the Spirit to enter into their heart and begin the work of regeneration, the tearing down through the law and the building up through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then there's this curious case of the sin against the Holy Spirit. What is that? Because people usually encounter that. And again, people wonder, have I done that? Have I committed that sin? What is that sin? In essence, what is this? It is the willful hardening of the heart against the Word of God and against the means of forgiveness. And it is the willful hardening of the heart by someone who was once a believer, someone who knows better, who knows the Word of God, but not only rejects the urgings of the Holy Spirit and the promptings of the Holy Spirit, but also verbally mocks the Word of God. So what's going on with this sin? The sin against the Holy Spirit essentially amounts to the rejection of forgiveness. The person rejects what God has to offer to them. There's no fear of God in the heart. Now, please remember that if a person is afraid of having committed this sin, you haven't committed this sin. You haven't done it. Because somebody who has committed the sin against the Holy Spirit doesn't care. They're not worried about it. And they mock God for it. The scripture goes to great lengths to show us the mercy of God. Jesus accuses no one of sin in this text. Did you notice this? He accuses no one of the sin against the sin of the Holy Spirit. So he's really working with people. He's really discussing and talking with them. He's warning them. He says, hey, folks, you're getting perilously close to pushing the Holy Spirit out of your heart. He says, gives them the warning. Don't do that. Consider the teachers of the law. What do the teachers of the law do? Well, these men are accusing Jesus of being in league with the devil. That's what they're accusing him of. By Beelzebub, the prince of demons, he is casting out demons. Is this blasphemy? Of course it's blasphemy of the greatest sort. What does Jesus do to them? He invites them for a sit down. Hey, fellas, come here. Sit down. Let's have a talk. And he lays out their logic and he tears their logic down. He says, look, here's the deal. If Satan is against Satan, then his kingdom cannot stand. Now, these people had said terribly awful things about Jesus, and he still works at their salvation. He says, if satanic forces are aligned against satanic forces, then Satan himself is finished. There's dissension in the ranks. Jesus points out to them, things don't work out that way. Jesus is also letting us know that Satan is a real personal being, the same real personal being whom we see introduced to us in Genesis, in our Old Testament reading for this Sunday. He is a creature who has set himself against the will of the Creator. Now, when was Satan bound? When was he bound? Genesis 3:15. We read that this morning when the Lord looked at the serpent. Basically, the Lord is speaking to Satan and saying, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between her seed and your seed. You will strike his heel and he will strike your head, or crush your head. I like that translation a little better. He will crush your head. Right, there's the first promise of the Savior. God is binding the devil and his kingdom at that moment. When Jesus comes on the scene, Jesus is taking what belongs from the devil's kingdom and ripping it out of the devil's kingdom. That's that whole, unless you bind the strong man. Jesus is showing very clearly by his word, casting out demons, that he is stronger than all demonic forces. You know, Jesus is telling the teachers of the law, hey, look, guys, you're being blinded. You see what's going on. The kingdom of Satan is being plundered, and yet you won't admit it. If you keep this up, then you really are throwing in with the devil and his forces. And that would be sinning against the Holy Spirit. If you persist in this, you'll shut out the Spirit and you will be lost. And then there's the other case of Jesus' family. What do we do with Jesus' family in this instance? Without a doubt, Jesus' family, even his mother, blasphemed against the second person of the Trinity by saying that he was out of his mind. What do they mean by that? Like, do they think Jesus has gone plumb crazy? I don't think so. I'm not exactly sure what they mean, but if I had to hazard a guess, we look a few chapters before this one and what's going on. Jesus is casting out demons. Jesus is contending with the scribes and the Pharisees and the Herodians. He's getting into all kinds of arguments with them. He's putting them in their place. He's outmaneuvering them at every step, and they're getting angry, and the scripture records for us in an editorial comment, they wanted to destroy him. Right? Now, here he is again, arguing with the scribes and the teachers of the law. What would you do to your kid if they were in that position? What would you do with your cousin or your brother in that position? You know, I can imagine the words that we in our culture might say. Hey, you're going to get yourself in trouble. You better cool your jets. Okay? Just settle down a little bit. Right? You're feeling your oats just a little too much, and you need to back off. You know, in our kind of language, it would seem to me that Jesus is poking the bear. And his mother and his brothers are coming to him and saying, man, you've got to knock this off, or bad things are going to happen. Like, you're out of your mind acting like this. Seems to me that that seems as kind of what's going on. And Jesus, he won't have anything of it. Was that blasphemy against the Son of God? It really was. But we can wrap our heads around that kind of fear. Now imagine for a second, if you will, how Jesus' mother and his brothers felt, and the rest of his family felt after the resurrection. What would you do if you had tried to knock your brother off the path of his the course of what he was doing. And then you find out your brother really is the incarnate Son of the true and living God. Yeah. That's a little stiff right there. And you're thinking, oh my gosh. They're well versed in the Old Testament. They're going to be thinking the same thing that Isaiah is thinking. Woe is me, I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I come from a people of unclean lips. Wow. Right? You would be a wreck. You watched your son get crucified. You watched your brother get crucified. You watched your cousin get crucified. And then you see him risen from the grave, and you have the stunning realization that this man really is exactly who he said he was, the Son of God. The words of Jesus would come back to you. Imagine the words coming back, and what great comfort and gospel it was to hear those words again. Every sin will be forgiven, the children of man, and whatever blasphemies they utter will be forgiven. How that must have been the sweetest memory of his family, right? Because even that sin of blasphemy against the Son of God will be forgiven, people. No sin, right? Now remember this, everybody here today, I want you to remember this. No sin is so large that the repentant heart can't be forgiven. No sin is so large that the repentant heart can't be forgiven. And that's good to hear, right? Because there are times when Christians imagine that they have committed the sin against the Holy Spirit. There are times when Christians are so worried that their sins are so large that they can't be forgiven. And there are times when Christians are simply beset with the most horrible, awful, wicked thoughts. And they can't get rid of them. Have you ever had that experience? The things that are going on in your head, thanks be to God, we don't let them come out of our mouth. But if people could hear what we were oftentimes thinking, we would blush with shame and they would turn away from us. We are beset by the devil with such things. The devil shoots his fiery arrows into the hearts of all Christians, causing them to turn over in their hearts and their minds the most horrible thoughts against God and against their Heavenly Father and against the Holy Spirit. Even when such thoughts are clearly against your will, they still poof right into your head. That's like, as C.F.W. Walther said, he's the first president of the Missouri Synod. He said, you know, if I'm sitting in a room in good clothes and somebody chucks in mud through an open window, that's not my fault. There's nothing I can do about that. He said, those thoughts come from the devil. They are unbidden. You do not will them. You do not want them. They are satanic thoughts. He's poking at you. He's trying to get you to think wicked and evil and horrible things. Put them away. They're not your thoughts. Ask your Lord for protection. Ask your Lord for forgiveness. Right? Right? Christians are harassed when we're going to communion. Who knows what we're thinking as we come up to communion? Who knows what we're battling inside our minds and in our hearts and spirits as we approach the altar? Right? Because the devil will give us no rest within or without. So what do we do? First of all, we hold the tongue and don't utter those words. We keep them inside our head and inside our chest. And we fight with them on our own. We call upon Jesus to banish such thoughts from us. And we let Jesus and His Word be a shield and weapon for each and every one of us. So Christians in distress still have faith, right? Even in your worst distresses, you still have faith. And the Spirit of God is still working within you. Be sorrowful. Be repentant. Be receptive of God's grace. And develop resolve to battle against your sins. Look to Jesus. And friends, always remember, to the repentant heart, your God forgives everything. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us all now rise for prayer.
ever-loving Father, we humbly bow before you this day as we implore you to forgive our sin and our rebellion against you. Our hearts and our souls are stricken, and we are sorrowful. Continually remind us through the work of the Holy Spirit that all sins and blasphemies will be forgiven the children of men, so that we carry not sorrow, but joy at the work of our Savior Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Christ, who healed the sick, strengthened the lame, we raise our prayers before you on behalf of all those who are infirm. We ask you to receive our thanks and praise for April Mock's successful surgery. We ask that you would grant unto April continued healing and a swift recovery. We also pray for Jim Harnicky as he continues healing from his knee surgery. And we ask you also to strengthen those whom we name in our hearts or those who are known only to you. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings upon Norm and Patricia Mueller as they celebrate their wedding anniversary. We thank you for the years of marriage that you have given unto them and the years of life that they are sharing together and the presence of family and friends with them this day. Grant them your blessings, keeping them in your almighty care and showering your peace upon their home. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, hear our prayers for our nation as we are seemingly racked with violence from within and without. Do not punish us according to the pridefulness of our sins, but do correct us as a loving father corrects his children. Make your church a beacon of truth in this present darkness. Protect the church and our populace from the assaults of Satan, both upon your word and upon your commandments. May we, your people, shine with a holy light of patience and humility, so that bearing our crosses and following our Savior, many will walk the path to eternal life. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord and Savior. Amen. We continue now with the singing of the offertory.
What shall I render to the Lord? What is
as we prepare to come to the Lord's table this morning, this week we are still continuing or going on with continuous communion, so that is one straight line coming and receiving the sacrament of the altar and then going around depositing the individual cups and the receptacles on the side. If you are not confirmed, I know we have some guests here this morning, I don't know who is confirmed and who's not, and you come forward, please cross your arms over your chest so I know to give you a blessing. And if you are not a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod or one of our sister congregations, please also, if you come forward, cross your arms over your chest so I know to give you a blessing. Let us continue now with the preface as found printed in our order of service. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places
Give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Have been sharing in the morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, and just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver this morning's message. If you cannot be physically present, Join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 a.m. on WLLM 1370 a.m. or WLLM 105.3 FM, or on Facebook Live or on the Internet at www.zlclinc.org. Zion services are also available on cable channel 5 and on the LCTV app on your smartphone on Sunday at 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of our Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 217-732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. If you would like more information concerning our school, please contact the school office at 217-732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
The true body of Christ given unto death for you.
Let us rise. The true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith into life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. Give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is number 922. Go, my children, with my blessing. Number 922, found in the Lutheran service book.
Please be seated. As everybody I'm sure noticed this morning, there's a bulletin cover for the 150th anniversary of our congregation. Mr. Sheely's going to come down and make some announcements about that and speak to that for a second. And he's got both hands full, so instead of handing you the microphone, just
Project.
Good morning, everybody. As part of our 150th anniversary, we got the bulletin cover that we started with today, and we're going to start two. We're going to be giving away yard signs, and it's to help promote Zion's 150th anniversary. And we'd be grateful if anybody would like to have one. We're going to have them at the door as you leave this morning. If you're going to Bible class, they will be out here in the new edition. You can pick one up still. If we run out, we will get more. But we'd like to promote our 150th anniversary, and we thought this would be one great way to do that. If you'll notice, there's banners out here in front of the church on the corner of the parking lot, and there's a banner out at the school, too. We've got the church picnic will be the first event that will be coming up shortly. So keep your eyes peeled in the bulletin for announcements on that. But it's been great to see everybody here this morning, and we really appreciate it if you'd help support the anniversary celebration. So thank you.
Thank you, Doug. Please remember next week, masks at your discretion, and we will be removing the rest of the ribbons on the, what are these things called, pews? Okay. And on that note, may the Lord bless all of you, your comings in and your goings out, from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.